Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by Josh Anderson. Originally from Nashville, Josh graduated from Louisiana State University and served 8 years in the U.S. Army, including a 10-month stint in Bagram, Afghanistan during Operation Enduring Freedom. Beginning as a solo agent in 2006, Josh and his team, the Anderson Group, have been ranked in the Wall Street Journal's Top 1,000 Agents and Real Trends Magazine's Best Real Estate Agents. His team closed 239 transactions in 2015, resulting in over $80 million in volume. He is currently on track to sell over $100 million in real estate in the greater Nashville market this year. Now, let's welcome Josh to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
And Mr. Show Producer, I already unmuted him. So, Josh, welcome to today's radio show. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you being my co-host. Let's drill down. Let's deliver some really actionable, powerful information for all 155,000 folks that are going to be listening live and in replay. Agreed?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. So, let's start out with some numbers just so everyone knows that you're the real deal.
Sure.
216, you've already closed 228 units. You have 40 pending, over 100 million sales volume. And this is in Nashville, Tennessee. And so your average sale price in Nashville is how much?
Our team average is about 380. The average in Nashville is probably closer to 225 to 250 as a median average price.
I point that out because we have a lot of folks that sell really expensive, ultra, luxury, whatever on the coast. And sometimes they forget how good they have it with their high sale prices until they hear from someone from you, like you has to sell so many units, right? Julie and I, we sold real estate, same exact situation. And you carry 25 to 30 listings at all times, and your average days on the market is 60. I love the fact you know these numbers. 73% of your business came from past clients, sphere of influence, and agent referrals. That'll be fun to talk about. And you have a team of consisting of 5 agents and 3 support staff. So, listeners, that's Josh in a nutshell, but so let's just drill down. How do you prioritize your time?
Yeah, so, I think this is probably one of the biggest things that seasoned agents as well as brand new agents are trying to figure out. And I think you just have to get really dialed in on time blocking and understanding time blocking. And, a big thing for my business, I was telling Gina earlier, is literally, if somebody wanted to rob me I wake up at 4:42 every day and I do the exact same thing every day. I lead generate for 4 hours a day, and it's all about consistency and it's time blocking. And my entire team knows that unless the house, the office is burning down, like, they do not come into my office during lead generation time. They don't knock on the door.
Let's hover there, because this is something that everybody who's ever been successful at anything, selling, doesn't matter, professional athlete, doesn't matter what it is in life, you have to basically learn to control or at least have, a reasonable expectation that you're going to get, a scheduled day, certain things done. So, like, when you say time blocked, you're talking about a schedule, but what are during that time block time, what are the 3 to 5 things? First of all, tell us what your schedule is. You said in the morning, and then tell us what the things are that you get done. Like, there's probably 3 to 5 things that you're going to get done every single day, first thing in the morning, as part of that time blocked morning schedule. Correct?
Yeah. So, and that's probably. Nothing I do is real. It's not revolutionary. It's just consistency. And, I wake up at 4:42. Everybody asks why such a random number. It was kind of by default. I was, on an old school clock, and I was trying to hit 4:40 or 4:45, and it kept hitting. So it stopped at 4:42. And so that was like a decade ago, and I just have kept it there. So I wake up, and I really kind of have my own, either am working out or have kind of my quiet time. Fast forwarding into getting into the office. When I get to the office, I literally have 2 hours here before anybody comes into the office. And it's checking emails and really getting dialed in on what I need to do that day. Now I finish up, I look over my calendar for that morning or for that day, and I look at what I have going on, and I look at, you know, what list or success list or priority list I put together from the night before, and really just kind of get comfortable with it. And you know, from 8 o'clock, I make a 10 or 12 minute phone call to my buyer team. 8:15 to 8:30, I talk to my operations, and from 8:30 to 12:30, I lead generate. And that's
so
every single day. No matter what.
Let's talk about the lead generation. Who are you calling? Walk us through that whole process.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, I work all on the listing side of the business. So my lead generation looks like I'm either calling seller leads, but really for the most part, I'm calling past clients, sphere of influence, database, referral source. It's all really past clients and referrals for me. You know, 2015, we did about 50 closed transactions just from agent referrals around the country. So, and part of that is because I do a really good job. I'm very intentional and very purposeful about going to conferences and networking and getting people's cards and adding them to our agent newsletter and trying to add value to them. But the other piece, there's a lot of people moving to Nashville right now. So from all over the country. And so
Nashville's one of those markets that's very steady no matter what the overall economy is doing. So a lot of investors. But you guys also have a lot of corporate reload that's happening there too, right? Companies that have discovered.
So Under Armour's got, you know, a manufacturing plant out, you know, right outside of Nashville, and Beretta Guns moved their entire headquarters. And we've got a huge healthcare, number one healthcare capital of the United States. And we've just got a lot of different businesses too. So people are moving around quite a bit. But to go back to your question, I mean, the majority of it is either I'm looking for HR departments, I'm looking for business development type stuff, I'm calling past clients and referral sources and constantly
And
those scripts aren't always like looking for, hey, can I, you know, do you know anybody looking to buy or sell? A lot of it is checking in with them and, hey, how can we add value to you? How can we be a resource? Who can we connect you with? What do you need from us? Asking for business.
Josh, right, exactly. So you're wanting to bring something of value, and you create the sense of reciprocity where they're going to want to reciprocate with helping you because you're doing something to help them. It's kind of like psychology 101, but it really does work. So as far as like, have you ever spent time calling, you know, expireds for sale by owners, things of that nature?
I have, but very little. I mean, I did some expireds for a while. I really didn't call for sale by owners. I think it's great for people that want to do it. We have an inside sales department that calls some of that type of stuff, but I've got a big enough database, and I don't think you need a huge database, but I mean, we've got 73% of our business, you know, out of 250 plus transactions this year, 73% of it is going to be past client or referrals. So I really don't need a bigger database for me to personally work, maybe for the team to market to. But you know, our business is, the marketing is in addition to, not in lieu of. And so we're still on the phone making phone calls and prospecting and adding that marketing and branding piece into it as well.
So if you were to, we have a lot of agents that are getting into the business. There's a lot of listeners of folks that are just sort of trying to decide what direction. And every time we interview listeners, every time we interview somebody that's producing at this level, you'll always find that their most dominant spoke, lead generation spoke, is always going to be centers of influence and past clients. I cannot honestly think of a single exception. No matter what their sale price is, what their market is, that's always going to be your number one source of business. So if you had, Josh, if you had to get into this again, right? So like say I take you and I drop you into whatever market in whatever part of the country, and you have to start your business over again, and your expertise area is something you're obviously very good at, is centers of influence of past clients. How would you start over again? What would you do? Remembering, please, that we're talking with a lot of folks that are just newish or maybe wanting to replicate what you've done.
You know, I mean, I tell people all the time, I think people look at me and go, well, this, you know, they're trying to figure out how to get to 5 million or 10 million, and we're at, you know, 85 to 100 million this year. And so I look at that and go, I think at the end of the day, the basics always work. I don't care if it's 1982. I don't care if it's 2020. Like, the basics are always going to work, and it's picking up the phone. It's shaking people's hands. It's networking. If I was relocated to a different area, I would do very similar to what I did 10 years ago when I got in the business. I wrote lots of handwritten notes. I picked up the phone and called a lot of people. I had lots of, you know, FaceTime as far as breakfasts or lunches or networking events. I would go get on nonprofit boards and have to be in certain places. I would be strategic about going to events where there are connectors or decision makers or other people that I could get in with for big accounts, or even people that could put me in touch with other people. Because it's not always the person for me, it's not always about talking, hey, who can you connect me to that wants to buy or sell a house? Who can you connect me to that you think would be a good contact for us? And nurturing that relationship, because you never know where your relationship is going to come from that, you know, puts you in touch with. I mean, it might be an $80,000 property and, you know, their uncle is the CEO of a company that's moving to town and they have 12 executives that need to buy $1 million houses. I mean, you just never know.
Our listeners are going to barbecue us if we don't get into the weeds a little bit and start actually talking about some practical things. So, and yeah, everything you said makes sense. And I love what you said. It's almost kind of funny that people that do what really – you're doing what really works. You're doing obviously the stuff that gets results. But in our industry right now, and I'm sure you've seen this too, the sort of trend is to chase the shiny object. Of course, that's always really been true. People
always
will look for shiny objects to make it so they can avoid actually picking up the phone and doing the real work. But at the end of the day, you're never going to make any real money and have a consistent business unless you're doing what Josh does or other things that are going to put you in direct contact with potential buyers and sellers. Well, you know what? Before I get to my next question, because I want to get into the actual weeds of what you say, how you say it, and I'll give you – you can maybe think about giving me some examples of, like, if you were to go to a business networking group. Don't talk about, if you don't mind, Josh, don't talk about, like, what you talk about. Actually tell us what you say. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Do you think – put your mind on that? Okay, but I'm going to ask you a separate question first. In your opinion, because you come in contact with a lot of agents, why is it that they're afraid, or why is it that they resist – actually picking up the phone? Help me understand that.
I think that it's easier. I think for a lot of people, it's easier to spend money even when you don't have it. It's easier to spend money on something like, you know, an online lead platform, or it's easier to do that than have to learn how to do the fundamentals at a really high level. It's scary for some reason. It's like getting up in front of a room and giving a public speech. I mean, for some reason, people cannot wrap their head around calling the people that already know them, like them, and trust them, and asking for business. It's like easier to call, you know, a Zillow lead or something than it is to call a friend and be like, hey, look, here's what I'm doing. I'm trying to finish the year strong. We're 10 deals behind on where we need to be. Do you know anybody that might be looking to buy in the next 90 days? Or do you know anybody that you can connect us to?
Listeners, are you getting that? That was a really simple script. All of you guys can say that. When you're calling people that know, love, and trust you, they're going to want to help you. That was a very simple script that all of you could say. It just rolled off of his tongue. Pay attention, listeners. So, yeah, I like that pivot to where we're going to talk about scripts. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so and I've got several scripts like that, and I'm happy to provide those to you guys.
Please.
I mean, it's just stuff we've learned over time that, you know, if you call and use the same script every quarter, they're going to quit answering your phone call. Or if you call them every month and say the exact same thing, you've got to add value. You've got to ask them for their input. You've got to, you know, hey, who can I put you in touch with that's in my network? So it's a give and take. But, you know, everybody we know somebody that needs to buy a house or sell a house or an investment property. I mean, it's educating your network on what you do and how you do it and how to refer. I mean, I think that's a hard thing to teach people, how to refer you business.
Do you have your scripts written out? Like, or when you sit down, you're calling for your 4 hours, I assume you have a minimum number of contacts that you're going to make that particular day from the work. You're not just basically putting calls in.
Right.
You're actually shooting for a specific result. So what's your specific result every day when you're putting that 4 hours of real work in?
So it's evolved over time. My goal was always first it started out as I was calling 2 hours a day, and then it was 3 hours, and now it's 4 hours. And then we also do call nights, and once a month we do a bold 100 where we make 100 I make 100 contacts in a day, and the goal for everybody on the team is to make 100. My goal has always been I want to make 20 real quality contacts a day, and it's not, hey, how's it going? It's having real conversation. Hey, this is a business call. And it can be that, it can be adding value, but my goal has always been generically 20 contacts a day, not 20 calls, but 20 contacts. But really at the very end of the day, my goal is to get one appointment a day.
And so there you go.
So
guys, good for you. So that's awesome. So listeners, drill down. Here's what I heard him say, and pay attention because it's really critical. He's sharing with you guys the absolute truth about how to be successful in real estate. He's actually putting in real, honest-to-God work every day. But he's not just making dials, okay? A dial is not a contact. A voicemail is not a contact. A conversation with a non-decision-making adult is not a contact. He's only counting a contact if real estate became the topic and he was speaking with a decision-making adult. Don't be confused about that. Voicemails do not count. Really critical. Now, you heard him say he has a minimum number of contacts he wants to make a day, 20, but what he really is gearing towards is one appointment a day. We have had hundreds and hundreds of coaching clients who started out following the exact same pattern as he did. They would maybe start out struggling, you know, to do maybe an hour a week, and then basically they realized it worked, and they added to it, and they added to it, and they added to it. And here's the real irony in this day of everything being digital and the narcissistic Facebook and everyone, you know, doing anything possible other than actually picking up the phone. Picking up the phone and doing what Josh is doing has never been more powerful than it is now. 10 years ago, guys, before Realtor.com and Zillow and Facebook and all these things came around, you know, then maybe calling was actually a little bit oversaturated because that's what realtors primarily did. But now the amazing thing is it's the digital stuff, because everyone's going gravitating towards that because they think it's effective, and it's truly not. There's not as many people that are calling, and the people that are calling haven't really ever developed the skill set to be effective at it. Are you paying attention, listeners? We're telling you the honest to God truth about what it takes. But isn't that funny, though? I wrote down two questions for you, Josh. I said, shiny objects. You have been inundated, especially in the past 10 years, because you've come into the business basically during the advent of the true shiny object, right? I mean, there wasn't 10, 11, 12 years ago, nothing like there is now. How do you shut that stuff off and see it for what it is, if just basically a gimmick? How do you limit your exposure to that stuff and don't let the stuff affect your mindset?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if my team comes to me and says, hey, can we add this? You know, they have to justify bringing it to me, or they have to, you know, what are you doing? Are you just wanting more leads? Are you working your database for more leads? Like, and so it's really, you have to really justify it to me, because I could spend my way into doing another $20 million in volume, but I've got to justify, especially when you have a team, I've got to justify getting $4 per dollar that I spend, because if I split it on the buyer side, and then by the time I pay employees and the team and everything, I've got to make $3 to $4. And I always just generically say $4. On the listing side, it's a little bit different because I'm on the listing side, but you know, it's one of those things that they'd have to make a really strong case to me, because when I show them, I go, out of the last 100 deals you guys did, 73 of them came from our database. So the other 27, the ISAs are working on all those sign calls and internet leads and all that stuff. The quality of these 73, I mean, they're packaged up and ready to go. I mean, they're good. I mean, they're 10 times better than those internet leads that we have to call 47 times that are getting bombarded by the other, 12 agents that they've gone to their websites too.
Yeah, and it doesn't take that long, if we're being completely transparent. It does not take that long to develop a good skill set. It'll take a while to develop a really great skill set as far as picking up the phone, but to be effective, it doesn't really take that much effort. What really is surprisingly is shocking, well, not to me after all this time of coaching, but is the real challenge is getting people to actually do the work. And once you actually start doing the work consistently, that's the key. And you start seeing
how
it
for 90
really
days
that difficult.
Consistently.
Yeah, exactly.
Do,
well, I like what you said.
I tell people,
No, I'm with you. We have something called the 90-day massive action plan. The listeners who are, you guys are members of our coaching program, definitely, absolutely, positively do the 90-day massive action plan, which actually leads me to another question I wrote down, a question I'm getting a lot. So you guys are really focused on picking up the phone. You guys are doing the real work. You're being highly effective at it. Congratulations, in all sincerity. And I love what you just said, dude, about you're focused on profit. I can tell that if I asked you what your numbers were, you're not going to give me some bullshit number. You know exactly what your net is. And I also get the sense, even though, well, I'll ask you the question. When you take in, say, $100,000 into your group, into your team, how much? If you don't want to answer this, just say pass. Perfect, acceptable.
Yep.
How much of that's
sure.
before tax profit?
Yeah. So, in my profit this year will be about a 42%.
Okay.
Last year it was 52%, and we brought on a couple of fixed expenses like salaries. So we've got. You know, but doing 250 transactions, I mean, a lot of teams I see that are doing that and more, I mean, they're more like a brokerage. They're making 10, 15, 20%
exactly.
On their numbers.
Yep.
And so,
exactly. That's
you know,
what we found too.
And there's no other, I mean, go look. I'm in Gary Keller's mastermind, and he kind of talks about this all the time. Is like, you know, there aren't any other industries that you can make 30 and 40% margins. I mean, there just aren't. If you're running it like a business, you these people that own 10 McDonald's, you know, they're paying a ton of money to have. I mean, the average Subway is making like $60,000 or $70,000 a year. That's why they have to have 10 or 12 or 15 of them to make $1 million a year. And there's no startup cost in real estate when you look at the cost of entry. I mean, it's a couple $1,000s to join your association, the classes, the test, the, you know, insurance, like everything is a couple $1,000s. And you really
pay
very
thing.
Nominal. You don't have to buy the building. You don't have to do any of that.
Exactly.
I mean,
you have no cost of inventory. That's the thing about real estate. If you have your spread screwed on straight about being a listing agent, you have no cost of inventory. And yeah, man,
right.
I agree with you 100%. You mentioned restaurants. We have a friend that has a number of Chick-fil-A's. And I went online and researched
and
what the average
net.
Yeah, man,
yeah.
You do. It's crazy. You make no money from those damn things. And so real estate
crazy
really
how
is
much
a blessing.
The entry level to get a McDonald's franchise is like $2 or $2.5 million, and they don't even make $100K on each one of them per year. That's why.
And you still don't own the real estate
so
either, by the way.
And
yeah,
you don't
McDonald's
own real estate.
Real estate. Yeah, you have to lease it back.
Crazy.
Okay, so listen, listeners, before I forget, and the next question I'm going to ask you is you're calling. Obviously, we're coming up on the holidays. I'm sure you have a holiday bent to what you're saying and the actions you're taking. A lot of people asking us questions about that. So that's going to be my next question. But before I do, listeners, this is the only time of year where you have like a perfect trifecta of opportunity. Number one, agents are getting out of the business for the holidays. Number two, you have more expireds, more disenfranchised, unrepresented owners, a.k.a. FSBOs, and you truly do have some fears in the marketplace about interest rates going up, so you're going to get some wonderfully motivated folks. And then, of course, if you're in a market like Nashville, you got folks that are relocating. They have to be there, you know, by the end of the year or the beginning of next year. You cannot
And
let
you have the election
to
cycle. Like,
yes,
you've got
you do.
Tons of things
well,
going for you right now. Because of the
yeah.
election cycle and everything it's a very interesting
well,
market.
This,
it's changed
well, you're,
in Nashville
you're stepping
the last
on
60
my,
or 90 days. Sorry.
Well, exactly. Well, no, you're fine. I appreciate you supporting what I'm saying because it's true. And you already know this. This fourth quarter is absolutely critical to work fourth quarter. This is one of the things that top producers, this is like one of the secrets that they never share, is that they work fourth quarter where the rest of the market takes the year off. So listeners, if you have not yet done so, complete the form that's right there on the listen page, on the website, name, email, phone number, and we're going to give you those books. And the book that we're going to give you, and the one I want you to start on first, is the Real Estate Treasure Map. That is your business plan for next year. When you do that, you're going to get a call from one of our coaches, and the coach is going to get you started on it, and they're also going to let you know about the coaching program. Now, I think one thing that you guys are learning is that, you know, frankly, skills matter. Skills matter, especially in a market like what we're entering into. The coaching program, Premier Coaching, when you use the student approval program, is only $99 a month, and every single one of you are approved. Okay, we're working with a lender that has literally made it so every single one of you can go to this coaching program. It's only $99 a month, and it's a real live coaching program. You get a coaching call per month. You get three other group calls per week. So, guys, everything you're looking for in order to make it so that 2017 is your rock star year, it's there for you. Complete that form. So, Josh, let's get back to it. This time of year, yep. Holidays are upon us. You're calling. Tell me about what you're saying, what you're doing. Talk about that.
So one of the things I was going to say earlier when we talked about, you know, just getting back to the basics, one of the things that I don't think many people do these days, and handwritten notes. I mean, how easy is it to send an email or a text message? You send an email, a handwritten note to somebody, they will pick up the phone and call you. I mean, it's easy. And then if you've got somebody, when's the last time you got a birthday card besides from your mom or your grandmother or like a relative? I mean, we send birthday cards out and people, I mean, it's consistent and they know every year they're going to get a birthday card from us. And so with Facebook, that makes it really simple. So there shouldn't be any reasons why you can't get that information from all your database, not just clients. So I would tell people, even if it's 3 to 5 handwritten notes a day, it takes you an extra 20 minutes. It's into the, you know, even in the evening, knock that out. One of the scripts that we use that, you know, going back to those scripts, we're client heavy on, you know, client events. We do housewarming parties. We do a couple of happy hours a year. We do 4 to 6 client events. So we did one that's at a pumpkin patch, and it's family friendly. Some of them are not as family friendly, but we do one just for our referral sources. So we've got one coming up in November before Thanksgiving. That's for
Josh, let me slow your roll just a tad, because I promise you they're going to ask us about this afterwards, and we might as well just cover this. So the pumpkin patch idea we've talked about on the radio show before. Then you mentioned two or three other events that are, you know, I'm sure you're serving alcohol and it's more of a cocktail type thing. So talk about where you do them, how you organize them, who you invite. Just get into the weeds a little bit so these guys have actionable information.
Yeah. Okay. So happy hours are client events. We try to do 3 or 4 happy hours in addition to our other 4 client events. Our happy hours are really just organizing it and for anybody that's in our sphere. It could be past clients, it could be an SOI, it could be somebody that's a friend of a friend that was at the housewarming party. I mean, those are just kind of open, and we usually have somewhere between 50 and 150 people there. So those are a little bit more generic, but they're really just kind of giving back and having some, you know, just breaking bread and having a good time and having a couple beers or whatever.
Does that cost you anything? Listen, bro, does that cost you anything? Okay. Okay. So how much does it cost?
It's different depending on the venue. I mean, sometimes it's $500 and sometimes it's $2,500. Sometimes we pay for them on our own. Sometimes we get them sponsored by our home inspector or someone like that, that is one of our allied resources, somebody that, one of our vendors. So we kind of do it together. So we've done, do you have any other questions on that?
I was just thinking like just some other, this is something that people are really, you know, thirsty for information and ideas.
Sure.
You guys could rent a movie theater on a Saturday matinee.
Yeah.
There's going to be some family friendly movie that's going to come out. You know, basically do some marketing, do your centers of influence, past clients, have them show up. Now, I would always plus every idea like that, so involve a local charity. So, for example, ask if the movie's free, the popcorn's free, you're going to pick up all that. Maybe have your home inspector, like Josh just suggested, maybe help covering the cost. But do make it so that they'll all basically bring some canned goods or a wrap present for, you know, a toy drive or something like that. So tie everything together so it's, you know, they'll see that you're making a contribution and, you know, all that good stuff. And the other thing is guys,
so
whenever you're doing event, yeah, go ahead.
Right. Well, I was going to say we did a just to give you some other ideas. Like we've done, we did the movie thing. We had a phenomenal turnout for the movies. I'll say the one bad part about the movies is there's no real interaction. I mean, you get interaction at the very start before the movie, and then you have 2 hours where they really appreciated it, but you didn't get to catch up with them and, you know, really talk much. So I realized from that we had a really great turnout, but I don't know if we would do the movies again you know, there were other things where we have a lot more interaction. Like we've got a AAA minor league baseball team, and that was phenomenal. We've done it multiple times at this point. We've done it 4 times, I think, in different sections of the stadium. We've done one that was like behind home plate that was at the club level. That was for our top 40 clients. We've done very open where they're $10 tickets.
I love that too.
Show up.
And listeners, remember, also try to involve your local, like, American Red Cross or your local Humane Society. Red Cross will do a blood drive at your event, but one of the cool things is when you get them involved is they will actually prospect into the marketplace to people that have been past donors before, so they're literally going on the phone and call and get more people to go, and they will do a lot of press releases and whatnot that are promoting your event and the blood drive at the same time. Those of you who are feeling the headwinds of this time, you know, Josh, we just did it. We did a national agent survey. We're just starting to collect results. And, like, the fourth question down was, like, what's your, you know, what we're asking about fear and pain type questions. And one of the questions, the result was essentially, like, something like 70% of all the agents are fearful over the next 3 or 4 months just because they know they're traditionally slower. But, guys, here's what I want you to, listen to what Josh said.
It's a little bit of a myth.
It is a myth. Thank you. Debunk the myth for me. Save me the breath.
Last year,
why is it a myth?
So last December was like our top 3 best months in a decade. I mean, it doesn't matter. People are moving all the time. It's just that you've bought into the mindset that it's a slower time in the fourth quarter,
and it's
total bullshit. But you've bought into it, and you've believed it because everybody else in your office is slow. When really, if you were drilling down in the mid to late third quarter and hammering, because you're usually 90 days back from what you're doing 90 days ago. So if you were hammering the phones and door knocking and doing all those things fundamentally that you're supposed to be doing, your November and December would be just as good as your June, July, and August. And you've bought into the people that have been in the business for 30 years that say that, oh, the fourth quarter's slow and I take a month off. BS. Like, we have 40 pendings right now, and we're not going to quit having at least 40 pendings moving in. And some of those are going to push to January and February, which is great because typically our January and February is our 2 slowest months of the entire year. So that's why we stack up in November and December. Some of our new construction pushes to January, and we know it's going to happen, and it's totally fine. It helps us for the start of the year. So,
well, you know, you're touching on. I love what you just said. You're helping me debunk the bullshit out there about this not being the best time of year to work. There's absolutely no question that if you coast the rest of the year, truthfully, you guys should have been dialing it back, like Josh just said, say starting back in, you know, September, October, thinking about the next year. He said something really brilliant there. I hope you guys are paying attention. He said 90-day cycle. Well, that means, in essence, I think this is what he meant. The time between contact and actually paycheck in his market is roughly 90 days. And a lot of your markets, it's less than that. When Julie and I sold real estate, it was 141 days was the average for our market. It's important you guys know the average days in the market. And then you got to go back and add another 30 days on there because that's the amount of time it took from making the contact to getting the initiate, you know, the house in the market and the pictures done and all the Mickey Mouse done. So the contacts you guys are making now are the ones that are going to pay you in the future. And if you're not making any contacts now, don't be surprised if you're not getting paid in the spring. And that's the reason so many of you guys – that's the reason so many agents, Josh, struggle going into the new year.
Yeah, I had a lady email me this week. I reached out to her in 2010 and I put her on a general newsletter and a market snapshot. She emailed me this week and said, this is what I owe on my property. You told me back in 2010 that you didn't think it was a good idea to sell. Because that's my deal is like I'm relationships. Like I'm not going to tell somebody to sell if it's not a good idea to sell. I know there's a lot of agents that do it, but that's what sets me apart. I will tell somebody it's not worth it. A commission check's not worth it for me to on my character and reputation. So she called me 6 years later or emailed me 6 years later. So like the power of lead follow-up, it's not about the first one call or 3 calls or 5 emails. It's about who's staying in touch with people 6 years later. That was on a lead that came to our website.
Yeah, that's 6 years ago. So Josh, we got to wrap it up.
And that's an extreme case, but you know.
Well, but it is and it isn't because, you know, it wasn't just coming strictly. If you look at the whole thing, though, I'm sure you'll realize that you have a great reputation in the community. If she was seeing other sold signs in the community, she may have ran into other people while she was having her hair done that had done work with you, and you had her in
sure.
your database. So it was all these things reinforcing each other. So listeners,
right.
do not think that having a database is a pretty shiny object and it's going to get all the business for you 6 years later, because he was doing a hell of a lot of other things. So don't be confused about that. So Josh, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate you being my co-host.
Yeah.
Thank you, and I didn't say this at the top of the call. I should have. Thank you for your service to the country and the Army. You know, we have a
thank
lot
you.
Of veterans that listen. We have a lot of veterans that actually enroll in the coaching program because you guys are coming from a mindset, the realization that from having discipline, you get really consistent results. But I'm curious, were you like that before you got into the military, that 4 hours a day discipline, time block life?
I was, but it was heightened. The discipline was heightened in the military. I grew up on a farm, a working farm, and my dad did not believe me. You don't get to sleep in on a farm. So we were pretty structured even growing up. I mean, we worked out on the farm, and we joke with him how hard he made us work. I mean, we could have retarred the roof. Put tar on the roof in November and December, not in the middle of August in Louisiana. It would have been a little bit easier. Putting black tar on a roof in the middle of August in Louisiana is hot. I don't know why
so
we had
people,
to do it then. And
when people cry that real estate's a lot of work, you just remember back when you were a kid working on the farm and put
right.
things in perspective.
Right. Yeah, it's like child labor.
So listen.
Right.
Josh, thank you very much for your time, and congratulations on all your success. I admire your willing to not stroke your ego and your being honest about what you're doing. Sometimes I have folks on this radio show that, will frankly try to butter up what they're doing. And sometimes the radio shows don't go so smoothly because when somebody has a big, massive team and they're buying all their leads and they're not doing any proactive lead generation like you do, you and I both know their net to them is like barely, 10, maybe 12%.
Yeah.
And I don't like.
It's too hard of a
I'm tired of
to
that.
Do it for, yeah.
Right. Well, they're not. I don't like people lying to agents, and I don't like them, disseminating information that's not true. You're really doing the work. You're doing it at a high level. People like you are truly, truly the bedrock of our industry because you're doing what's right for
well,
customers,
you.
And you're doing it the real, honest, ethical way. So I sincerely appreciate you being my co-host today. So if anyone wanted to send you a referral to lovely Nashville, great place to buy rental properties. If those of you guys are looking to pick up some investments, how can they get a hold of you?
This is true. My email is josh@joshandersonrealestate.com. You can also go to our website's joshandersonrealestate.com.
And it's Anderson. It's S-O-N, not S-E-N. So for those of you who are spelling dyslexic like your humble host. All right, Josh, thank you very much, and happy holidays, man.
Thank you. Have a great day.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows, and until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.